Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Coco's Cup. I'm your host, Coco Hontas, and I'm so grateful that you're here. As always, I sound like a broken record. Coco's Cup merch on Etsy. Just look up Coco's Cup merchandise and get you one ASAP AP. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about autonomy, which is something that I think really started me having a podcast to begin with, but I wanted to let you guys in a little spiel. I've been doing this outline where I'm writing a couple of questions and just answering them, and I think that it helps to flow better with the way that I'm talking. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, we're going to be talking about autonomy, so let's get right into it. So first subtopic of discussion, how do I define autonomy and what does it mean to me in the context of my family relationships? Ooh, that's a good question, girl. Okay. How do I define autonomy? The immediate thought that came into my head is just having freedom. Being able to be myself without apologizing for it and respecting my boundaries, respecting the things that I value and hold true to myself without having to compromise my happiness for somebody else. That's a good definition. Come on, quote me. In the context of my family relationships, I think it's very hard, and it took me a very long time to get to where I am as far as honoring myself and trying my best to honor my family, because with being a Sudanese Muslim girl, eldest daughter in the household, there's a lot of things that my parents ask of me that I'm not able to do. Not because I don't, actually it is because I don't want to, but also because it just doesn't make sense. To me, I feel like the parent's responsibility up until 18 is to help shape their kid. And they do this by not traumatizing them. Okay. Not too many jokes now. But really, for the main part, it's so that you can shape them. You really are in control of how your kid turns out to be. And I will not be taking any rebuttals or any disagreements there, okay? But with my parents, at least, I think, and I'm not going to criticize their parenting, because that's not what we're doing today, I know that they did the best that they could, and they had 5 kids. They parented us each very differently, and we all turned out very differently. Okay, rocket science. But with that being said, once I turned 18, I think that's when they started to try to really parent me, because they were pretty negligent during my prime years of when I was really developing into myself and learning about myself, learning about who I was and who I wanted to be. So it was really difficult to have any sort of conversation about what I wanted, because for as long as they could remember and whatever they have blocked out, I didn't know what I wanted. But it wasn't like they asked me, you know? And it was never a leaded conversation of trying to help me understand the things that I liked and what I wanted to do, because all of the things that made me created disagreements with my parents. And I think that's when I started to realize that autonomy was so important. And when I discovered this word, I was bamboozled. I was shocked. Okay. I was gagged. I didn't know that I could be my own person at the same time of my parents respecting that. And I think that's the biggest thing. My parents have this idea of who I am in their head. And when I stray away from this idea, they feel like it's disrespect. And that is definitely a cultural thing and generational trauma that I'm trying to break. And I hate that it has to be me, but nobody else is going to do it. So this causes a lot of disagreements, as you can imagine. I've always been a person, an individual who enjoyed debating, because I always wanted you to hear my side. And I'm somebody who's more than willing to hear you out, so long as you're going to hear me out and we can both respect each other's opinions. But as you can tell, that's not really something that happens in a traditional Sudanese household, especially because of the fact that I'm a girl and I'm supposed to just obey. And as stereotypical as you might think it is, I might just be a walking stereotype. Trying to find myself outside of my parents and outside of who they perceive to me has been a very heinous and gruesome task. Very hard. I'm at loss for words. Let me pause. I'm going to go ahead and go on to the next question because I talked about that for a little bit too long. What are my core values and beliefs regarding independence and the role of family in decision making? And with that being said, my core values and beliefs in terms of independence, I've always been hyper independent. I learned from a very young age that if I wanted something, I had to do it myself, and that I could not rely on other people to be there for me. And that has shown up in a lot of ways in my adulthood with my parents, because at this point, they want me to go to them for everything, but they're seeing that that's not happening. And it's created this distance that they're clearly living, which again has caused a lot of issues. I think particularly because my mom is somebody who likes to have a say in everything. She likes to have control. She wants to be able to monitor things and manage things and micromanage things. And whatever word is even more micro, minuscule, I don't know. She's that girl. She wants to be the boss, and she will not let anybody else tell her otherwise. So when I'm making decisions for myself, she feels threatened, and she feels as if what I'm saying is disrespectful. I think that's one of her favorite words, disrespectful, because she says it a lot, but I think that I maintain composure, I maintain my tone, and I talk to her in the way that I'd want someone to talk to me, and that's never disrespectful, okay? And I think that because I grew up so independent, it became second nature. I couldn't even recall or tell you a time in which I was dependent on somebody else. And with that being said, we lead into a conversation of codependence, but I think that is severely different from what this question is asking, because again, you know, I wrote it myself. But with my family and decision making, those two have always been separate. I don't really consult my family when it comes to decisions that I'm doing for myself, even if I think that their opinions or their knowledge or experience is going to benefit me. I just keep it to myself, or I consult people that have proven being accountable and have proven their trust to me. And that can be my best friend, that can be my man, that can be my therapist. And that's it. That's it, that's all for the most part. I don't really go to my family about those things. At times, I'll go to my older brother and ask for his opinion, because I know that his opinion is very valuable to me, because I know that he's aware of the dynamic within the household and he understands better than anybody else that's outside of the house. But all in all, I keep the two very separate. When I'm trying to make a decision, I consult none of my family. Sorry. My next question, and I have a couple more, but I think this is just going to be part two. How do I navigate the tension between pursuing my own goals and desires while considering the expectations and needs of my family members? Girl, there is a lot of tension, and it gets really hard at times, sometimes even super overwhelming. I think at the end of the day, I try to realize that this is my life, and I'm not doing anything that's going to hurt somebody. With the amount of control and delegation that my mom and maybe my dad wants to have in my life, it's just not going to work. It is always going to be a one-way street, and both of our cars is trying to fit one lane, okay? And I realized from a young age that we just didn't see eye to eye, and I don't think that we ever will, because my mom struggles a lot with trying to recognize me as my own individual. She sees me as an extension of herself. And I think that's a flaw in Sudanese culture, is everybody in your family, direct and even relatives, they see each other as extensions of themselves. Just one big tree branch. It's crazy. But I found that with what I've wanted to do, and meaning my relationship with God, my relationship with religion, my relationships, friendship, platonic, romantic, none of those things I've felt safe enough to come to my parents about, so I don't. And that's where the autonomy kicks in. I honor myself and I give myself that grace that I don't have to consider them all the time, even if I'm being considerate. And I don't know if that makes sense entirely, because I'm still being thoughtful of them and I think about how it's going to affect them. And of course, if it's something that's detrimental, that's going to physically harm them or emotionally harm them, I try to stay away from it. But if it's something that's not bad and the religion does not say anything bad against it, but my parents are just simply being unreasonable, I'm gonna do it. And I'm gonna have it backed up by religion. And that's just how it goes for me, because with my parents, I don't think that they respect my opinion enough for what I say to be held with value. So the way that I bring value to the conversation is by talking about religion and having those chapters and those lines back me up when nobody else is able to. I'm going to go ahead and end it here, but I'm definitely going to be making a part two, part three, part four, all of the above, okay? And with this episode, I want to show some appreciation and gratitude, as always. I know that I always talk about how grateful I am for him, but D, come on. That is my soulmate, and he keeps me grounded, and I appreciate him so much. And if you guys have noticed that there's been the sound that's been added, it's all due to him. Come on. Round of applause. I'm very proud of him. I'm very thankful for him. And I'm very thankful for you guys. So thank you so much for staying until the end. I love you very much, and I'll see you in my next episode.